Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on April 9th, 2024, taught by FaithBridge Men's Pastor Danny Hannon. Welcome to the 11th and final week of our Who Do You Say I Am series, a study in the Gospel of John.
Okay, so if you guys remember Shop Talk, a lot of you guys were at Shop Talk, right? So we kicked off that with a question that I was generally asking everybody. And just a little hint for you guys, we kind of been exploring it this semester. What's that question that we've been exploring? Anybody? Who do you say I am? Right, Jesus asking his disciples, who do you say that I am? And really what we've been exploring is, who does he say he is, right? Our seven I am statements, okay? So that's what I love about this is we're gonna see kind of a bookend. We're gonna close some loops as to what we've seen starting off with Shop Talk. Now, there was a more subtle question, and Herb, you get massive brownie points if you remember the subtle question that I was asking at the end of that Shop Talk. Does anybody remember that one? What is our purpose? Okay, what's our purpose? And here's the thing. I wanna have an honest conversation with you guys. Let's have an honest moment for a minute, okay? Have we all experienced where we're asking ourselves, man, what's my purpose? What's the meaning to my existence? Has anybody asked that question? I mean, I know I have. Like, that's a question that men generally ask themselves. Like, why am I here? What's this point? So anybody been on a road journey with our missions group here, The Road? Okay, yeah, I know, got a lot of hands, right? Served as adult leaders or been on the adult trips or whatever it might look like. What's that single word acronym that we use before we leave anywhere we've stayed? What's that single word acronym? Somebody say it. Libdify. Do we know what it means? I know all the other guys are like, libdify? That's a word? It is. I think it's Greek or Hebrew, but it is a word, okay? But it actually means something. Who can tell me what it means? Leave it better than you found it. Isn't that kind of cool? Because I think that's kind of really our heart's desire for our existence as men, is we want to enter this world and we want to leave it better than we found it. We're hoping that we have some sense of meaning in our hearts. So this semester, going back, we were talking about Christ and who he says that he is with that first interaction with Peter, right, that we saw at the beginning. And we realized that, for Peter, his journey began both with a first interaction with the great massive catch, right? And then we have that midway point where he's able to articulate and proclaim who Jesus is. And we see that begins to shape his identity. And so I absolutely think that it is fitting that we're going to close that loop, that we're going to see that this final chapter in John is an interaction between Peter and Jesus again. And so that's where we're going to be tonight. And if you know anything about Peter, and I love this because it's probably a little bit like mine, is Peter's probably up there going, all right, they're using my life again. Right? He's excited about that. So that's where we're going to be tonight. And now, does anybody remember? So the final brownie points, final question I'm going to ask you. What were those words that Jesus said to Peter after that first interaction with the great catch, right, of all the fish? And then Peter collapses at Jesus' feet and he says, Lord, get away from me, for I'm a sinful man. What was Jesus' response to him? Anybody? Anybody remember? What was Jesus' words to him? He gave him a command. What was it? Follow me. Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. There you go. You guys got it. You're tracking, right? Follow me. So now we're going to look at his final earthly interaction with Jesus before Jesus ascends and joins the Father. So we're going to be in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. You guys follow along with me here. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And then Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Isn't that cool? Did y'all see what happened there? The first interaction Jesus has with Peter, he tells him, follow me. And now in this final interaction, before Jesus ascends, after his resurrection, he says, follow me. But I think you'll be surprised in what these two follow me's mean and how they apply to us. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. So what is, to me, so fascinating, is so great, really, about Peter's journey is I think it that we have so much in common with his discipleship journey than I think many of us may realize, okay? Like, and especially for yours truly. Like, I love Peter, right? He's like that high-energy bullet, you know, that's going, okay, now, Jesus, I'm totally crushing this right now, right? Like, I've got this all figured out. And then there's that moment where, you know, he's like, now, Jesus, you said we could take a sword. How about two? You know, and Jesus is like, come on, one's enough. And then there's also that conversation where he's like, now, Jesus, when we're with you in heaven, am I going to be on your right or your left? Now, whichever's good for you, Jesus, like, but just, you know, right or left, whatever works, I'm good with that. You know, it's that I love his eagerness. And anybody who knows me would know that, yeah, that's kind of Danny. He's kind of got that high energy bullet. And so for that reason, I am very grateful that Peter went first to show us that way. So big fan of that. But what I want to do now is I want to explore some pivotal moments that we can begin to really see that Peter really is kind of this like two-step forward, one-step back kind of guy. And that there is so much for us that we can gather and we can learn from this. So in looking at some of these moments, we see that for Peter, this attitude of this, you know, I'm moving forward, I'm taking a step forward, but then I take a step back. What is something that we can gain from that? Well, for number one, what I see in Peter's journey is grace upon grace upon grace that Christ has for him. And what does that mean for us? Well, that means grace upon grace upon grace, both for yourself and your journey, along with your brothers and your sisters. Okay, so what are some of these moments, right? Okay, so we have this first dinner. We see it from Shop Talk. We covered it. We see that moment where he's got this great fishing moment, right? He pulls in the largest catch of his life, and he collapses before Jesus' feet. He says, "Get away from me!" And then what does Jesus say? He says, "Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." And then what's Peter's response? He follows him. He leaves it all and he follows him. Huge win, Peter. Well done. All right, you're tracking. You're on this process. Then we start, you can move forward, and then you would see a story about how Jesus is walking across the water, right? I'm only gonna capture a few of these, right? For sake of time. We'll be here all night if we're covering every story for Peter and Jesus. But then, you know, moving forward, we see another moment where Jesus is walking on the water. And they're like, what is going on right now? And so Peter's like, hey, if that's you, Lord, call me out. And so he commands Peter to come to him. And what does Peter do? He gets out of the boat and he starts walking on water. Like, massive moment for Peter. Like, oh, you're walking on water, man. This is huge win. He's, what is happening right now? But then he takes his eyes off of Christ. He starts noticing the world. He starts seeing the wind and the waves, and he begins to sink, right? And he's doubting. Even Jesus says, why do you doubt? He calls out for help. Jesus pulls him up. All right, little minor setback. Okay, but then he says, why did you doubt? And then Peter responds, you most clearly are the Lord. Okay, all right, we're back on track. Had a little bit of a setback. Then we see that, you know, Peter starts to witness all these miracles and all the things that Jesus is doing and all these healings. And he's receiving some of the seven I am statements that we've heard, right? He's hearing these from Jesus. He's starting to see, man, there's like, I'm starting to see what's happening and I can start to articulate this. And then we've got our moment. We covered in Shop Talk. Peter, who do you say that I am? Okay, man. This is your moment. It's your moment. Who is he? Well, you're the Christ. Nailed it. You know, like, all right, I'm tracking. I'm doing good. I'm following along. I'm getting all the right answers when I need to have the right answers. And then moments later, what happens? That's when Jesus, describes his death and his resurrection. And what does Peter do? He says, no, I forbid it. I'm not going to let you do that. And then he says, get behind me, Satan. Crap.
I did it again.
Right? So we see these two steps forward, kind of one step back. Right? He's learning. He hadn't quite figured everything out yet. And then we get to some of his more final moments, which is where we see he's having that final supper with his disciples. He's going to wash their feet. He gets to Peter. He says, okay, Peter. And Peter's like, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. And, which, you know, we could go, you know what, that's actually kind of, you know, honorable that he's like, I'm not going to let my master wash my feet. But then, of course, Jesus says, if you want to share with me, you need to let me do this for you. And then what's Peter's response? Okay, well, head to toe. Let's do it all. Like, I want all of you, Lord. And, of course, Jesus is like, feet are enough. You know, pump the brakes. But then that's when Jesus tells him, now you're going to deny me. And you're going to deny me three times. And then what's Peter's response to that? There's no way, Lord. I would never deny you. I'm never going to deny you. Why? Because I'm better than these guys. Like, I'm your top disciple. Like, I'm better than them. I would never deny you. There's no way that's going to happen. And Jesus is like, no, it is. It is. And then what happens? He denies him. I know we're not covering that piece of scripture tonight, but I'm filling y'all in, giving you the Cliff Note version. He denies him, and he flees from Jesus. And then Jesus is ripped from this earth out of his hands. And so in Peter's mind, the last image that his teacher, his master, his rabbi would have, that Peter's thinking, I've left him with this, I just denied him, and I fleed from him, and now he's gone. He's gone. Man, what a state of brokenness and shame and guilt Peter must have been left in. Right? Have y'all thought about that before? Like, Jesus is gone. He still doesn't fully understand this whole resurrection thing. He's thinking he's gone for good. And in my final hours, in his final hours, I denied him. But why? Why is this broken place actually good for Peter? How's that good? How's it good? Well, let's look at it for a moment. Up to this point, Peter has not really fully experienced the love of Christ for him, the love of God for Peter, right? He hasn't fully experienced that. And now, this broken place can be the opportunity for Peter to experience it. Because what does Jesus do? He comes back. He's resurrected, and he meets Peter in this moment, which is what we're seeing in these final verses. He meets him here. Because let's not forget, in the 3 years of Peter's journey with Christ, what was Peter doing? He was learning from him, studying him, being his disciple, trying to understand what is really happening right now. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. You know, I'm trying to be your disciple, and I'm trying to emulate you and do all that. But here's the thing. It wasn't until this final moment that it all became clear. Because what happened? For the first time, Peter became the recipient of Christ's restorative love. This was that moment for Peter. He'd been learning. He'd been studying. He'd been filling his head full of knowledge. And rightly so, as part of his discipleship. But now he's going to have a chance to experience that restorative love, right? Because all along Peter's journey was like, I got this. Like, I'm seeing other people being healed, but I'm good. Like, man, Jesus pulled me up to the Mount of Transfiguration and I'm one of his top disciples. Like, you know, these other people, they need the healing and this is all happening. And, you know, but I'm doing all right, right? I'm following the master and I'm taking some steps back. I get it, but I'm learning and I'm figuring this out. But this is that moment where in the end, he denies him and he's left in this state of denial. He's left in this state of shame, right? That he feels that he's there. And this, the only way out of that state is for Christ to restore him, for Christ to restore him. And so now he's primed. He's primed to finally fully understand. Okay, he's primed to receive. Which is what I love about these last few verses when you look at this, is you'll start to notice some nuances. But these last few verses in John, between him and Peter, is the total restoration for Peter. It's a public restoration for Peter to restore him, okay? And here's the thing, is Jesus did not leave him in that state of shame and guilt. He came back for him. And the best part is he comes back for you. But he's asking him a question. Do you love me? Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Just like when he told him, Simon, Barjona, son of John, flesh and blood didn't reveal that. He's using his name, Simon, son of John, do you love me? So just like in the midway time of Peter's journey with Jesus, he was given a name and an identity when he was able to articulate who Christ is. But now, in this final moment, he can now receive a purpose, because it wasn't until now that he was restored in love back to Christ. So guys, this is what I want to leave you with. I want to start to work through is that there's two life-changing questions that Jesus is asking us. There's really two questions that he really asked Peter. One helps to shape our identity. The other one leads and drives us towards a purpose. The first question is, who do you say that I am? The second question is, do you love me? Do you love me? So this is the kind of the end all be all right here that I want to move forward. We'll start to wrap up the discussion for tonight, and it's this. When we look at our journey, like Peter's journey, it begins with a follow me, right? We see it in the opening story for Peter, follow me. But in the Greek, what he's saying is doute episo mou, which is to say, come after me, be my disciple, learn from me. So Peter's journey begins with learning from Christ. But in this final follow me, this final interaction has an entirely different Greek definition for follow me, which is akaletio mou, which is to say, wholly conform to me in your living and in need be dying. Come after me. Right? So he started his journey with learn from him, and he's being called now to come after him, to be like him, to live like him, and if need be, to die like him. And the only way possible that this is possible is if we experience the restorative love of Christ. For Peter, he had to experience and know for himself that restorative love that he was given. Okay, and what I love about this is then the fruit of that, when you're able to move to that place, the fruit of that is now you can feed the sheep. Now you can feed the sheep. Now there's no greater purpose. There's no greater purpose, there's no greater life than when you have moved from this place of I now can articulate who Christ is, and now I'm in love with Christ because I've experienced it. See, this is my story. And so when I'm reading through this, I'm like, man, this is it. Like, I've been on this discipleship journey, but this is it for me. I've studied most of my life in the faith and following Christ and studying from him and learning from him most of my life. But it was only until about 8 years ago that there was this moment where I felt fully restored from my sin and my shame and my guilt by him. And he moved me. And it was at that moment that I'm like, I am so in love with Christ. So when he's asking me, do you love me? I'm like, yes, I do, because you've restored me. We only feel that when we've reached that moment of restorative love. And that's Peter's journey. And so the best part is you can't not pour that out to others. There's no way that you can just keep that to yourself. When you've experienced that, you're like, I'm giving it to my family and my friends and my brothers. Now you're feeding a sheep. You're moving forward in that. Now, all of us are somewhere on the way. We are all somewhere on a discipleship pathway. Everybody in this room is somewhere on that journey. Okay, maybe all at, you know, at different stages, but we are all on this pathway. But my desire, Christ's desire for each man in this room, this is what I want to leave us with tonight, is each man in this room to ask themselves, what is that thing that I'm holding on to keep from being fully restored with Christ, that I think keeps me from the full love of Christ? Because that's what Peter was left with. He thought this was it. Like, there's no way I can get back from this. But it was Christ who came back to him. What is that thing that you think separates you from him? Now, What I love about Peter is he's no quitter. And that's my encouragement to us here tonight, is for every time that Peter took a knock down a peg moment, what did he do? He drew closer to Christ. We might have some setbacks in our journey. Peter shows us what that looks like. But he takes a step forward. He takes a step forward to position himself for this moment when he can finally be restored. So in the end, instead of being left with a state of denying him three times, Jesus gives him a chance to respond three times with, "Do you love me?" Did y'all see that? Denied three times, and then asked, "Do you love me?" three times. And he's being fully restored. So here's how we're going to end. I want you guys to close your eyes. Close your eyes for a moment, because Christ is asking us the same thing. This may be for some of us or maybe for all of us, but take a moment now and identify that thing that you feel like has separated you, that you feel like I can't be restored back to Christ, that I'm holding on to. Find that thing and hold on to it for just a moment. If there's something in your life that you said, "I can't get past this, I can't be restored," hold on to that. Now, I want you to envision the image of your Lord and Savior, your Christ, your Messiah, of the seven I am statements, everything that he's said. He's standing in front of you now. And hear him say to you, "I forgive you. Do you love me?" Answer that in your mind. "I forgive you. Do you love me? I forgive you. Do you love me?" Open your eyes. "Now, men, go feed his lambs. Tend his sheep. Now go feed his sheep." There's your meaning. Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you so much for this time, and I thank you for how you've used us this semester and how you have moved in our table discussions, how you have moved even now, and how you're going to move in these final hours as we close up our tables and we close these discussions. And Lord, now move us to that next place. Just as you've said, "Go feed my sheep." We have seen who you are. You have shown us who you are. Let us all feel that restorative love, that we were restored back to you, and now we say, "Oh Lord, we love you." So now let us go feed your sheep. Father, I thank you for this time, and I thank you for my brothers. I thank you that you allow each of us to be here and to grow and to sharpen from one another. Father, we praise you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.